The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Here I am. Good day to you, good sir and madam, or they. Listening to the podcast today, thank you so much for tuning in to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Thursday. I get sad on Thursdays because it's the weekend. Listen, I love doing this show, so I hope you love listening to it. I don't know why you would be listening to it otherwise. Maybe a hate listen. Sometimes we do things just to hate. Noah, do you do anything where you're like, I do it to feel hatred and angry?
Of course I have done that.
Like hate watching. People go, oh, I hate these people so much. I love watching them. Or like, they make me so angry. I think people just want to feel anything.
Yeah. Not really with hate, but just kind of like looking at other people's lives that are not at all like my own.
That make you feel insecure. And like that might make you feel like bad, and yet you keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think that's different than hate watching, because I think we all do things that are like, this is bad for me, but it feels so good. But I guess that's the same thing. Like hate watching things feels good because you're like, that's not my life.
Yeah. I guess I just take it more as like voyeurism.
Yeah. I love seeing inside people's lives. I don't want to take credit for it, but I do think, so when I was like in middle school, I got Entertainment Weekly. I subscribed to it because I like loved entertainment. And like you guys know, I was voted most likely to become Siskel and Ebert in my eighth grade senior superlative. Let's not even mention the fact that there was in my eighth grade superlative, like most likely to's, there was also a most likely to succeed. And I kid you not, I would give anything for a copy of this. It said most likely to succeed, Katie Miller, .. And the class of 2002, they just like threw us all in, but also mostly Katie Miller. And Katie Miller is truly the one that I always go to, is like, I wanted to be here so bad. But I was most likely to be Siskel and Ebert. I got Entertainment Weekly early on. And I remember they were doing like a customer survey, and I felt really cool that like we got a phone call and they were like, may we speak to Nicole Glaser, please? And my parents are like, a man wants to talk to you. And I'm like, yes. And they were like, we're doing a customer research survey. As a subscriber to Entertainment Weekly, like, will you answer these questions? You know, the kinds of things that you would now do on your phone. And I was like, hell yes, I will. And I remember them at the end of the call, they were like, are there any other things that you would like to see in the magazine? And I go, yes. You know what I want? I want more paparazzi photos of celebrities, not on red carpets, but like out and about. And do I want to say that I predicted and I was very influential in the Stars Are Just Like Us photos? Because Us Weekly wasn't out yet. All we had was National Enquirer, and that was like, alien baby grows out of 60-year-old woman. And it was always like those kinds. It never was, or it was like, you know, what's that one woman that always wins, is like on soap operas? It would always be like, God, what is her fucking, Susan Lucci's affair with Elvis. You know, it wasn't like Stars Without Makeup or Adam Sandler takes out the trash. Like, I wanted that shit. I wanted to see Stars Without Makeup, you know, which is also the name of a band that I want to start. I think the band Stars Without Makeup would be a great name for a band. Someone take it. I'm not going to do anything with it. But I think I was on the forefront of seeing, of being someone who was like, we like to see celebrities in the natural habitats. What do you like to watch on? We went over on Instagram. We went over the fact that you enjoy motivational talks. Which, by the way, I want to give a shout out to someone. If you are like Noah and enjoy motivational people, there's a guy from F Boy who I just love, Jamie Wood Official. Follow him. He had a great one this morning that I even commented on.
What did you like about it?
Let's listen. Oh, he's adorable. So like, he was a nice guy on the show. Oh God, I'm connected to my dumb headphones. It says, don't get upset when you're connected to your, not connected to your head or whatever. Okay.
It's a great day to be alive. You know, one thing I was thinking about this morning as I'm reflecting and getting ready for the work day is that I've got to be more mindful of what value statements I place on my experiences. Mm. The experiences that I've had in my life, whether good or bad, may not be the case. And oftentimes I place those value statements on things to make sense of maybe what I'm feeling. And so my challenge to you is
a challenge.
Dig deeper into those things that you label good or bad, and to look for the lesson or the feelings or the emotions that might be behind why you labeled it as such.
Okay. What I wanted from him a little bit more was, like, I wanted an example of his life. Like, what's an example of something he labeled as bad that he could find the good in? But I thought that was a nice reminder. And you can tell that he's kind of like inching towards doing kind of self-helpy stuff. And I go, oh, you know what? As much as it's like kind of, you cringe to see someone attempt to be an influencer. And that doesn't go for Jamie. It goes for anyone who just makes that pivot to be like, I deserve to tell people how to feel good. Even me, you know, like making that pivot myself feels like, oh, who do you think you are? I actually got something out of watching that. And he's gorgeous to look at too. So that doesn't hurt. And Andrew knows him too. And like, we always just talk about how Jamie, one of the first guys to get like a wristband from the girls on the first episode of FY Island, a clear front runner from the beginning. He's just a good person. And Andrew's always like, he could have gone pro, man. Like, he's like a legit football player. Like a lot of these guys say they're pro, like he's legit. He just got injured. So, Jamie Wood official. I wrote underneath it, I learned yesterday that although I like to live my life honestly, and I feel like I never lie, there was something that I sent a text message to someone in an attempt to have something done. Like I wanted something, right? And I decided to phrase it in a way. There were probably three truths about why I wanted this thing. Because I wanted someone else whose feelings I think I have control over to feel good. So I was asking a favor of someone to do something that would make a friend of mine feel good, right? So that was number one, make this person who kind of seems to be annoyed with me feel better. Number two, I think it is the right thing to do, what I'm asking for. And number three, I have insecurities that the person I was asking for this thing from has problems with the person I'm asking them to do it for. So I'm trying to make them like this person more by like so many motives going on in my head. But before the text message I sent, you would have thought I had one motive, which was just, I just want people to feel good. And there's nothing self-serving about this, but it was totally self-serving. I had so many, it was very layered. And because I wasn't honest and just asked for what I wanted, and because I felt like the person I was asking for it from needed to be served this request with kid gloves because I was so scared of this person's response, them taking it the wrong way. Guess what? I gave them a bunch of bullshit around it of why I wanted this favor, and it didn't need that bullshit. All I needed to do was ask for the favor. It didn't need to be like I always tell you guys, if you don't want to go to a party and your friend and you have to cancel because you're anxious or because your stomach hurts or because you just don't want to go, you can just say, I can't make it. And you don't need to give up a reason. You don't need to make up a fake reason. Now, although my reasoning behind this text were all true, the real truth was not what I was manipulating. I was trying to send this text to get what I wanted where that person wouldn't be mad at me. And guess who got mad at me? That person. Because they sensed it was bullshit. And like, and they took it the wrong way. So I was like, it led to a huge misunderstanding, a lot of drama, a week of pain and strife, and me and this person not talking because we were both mad at each other. Then we get on the phone yesterday. I understand their side of things, how they read the text. I understood, oh my God, I sent that text that I thought was innocuous. Why are you mad at me about that? Because it was laced with bullshit. I wasn't being authentic, even though I thought I was being it. Now, what is that? Where do I get the good out of that? Now I can look at how I text this person who I have a lot of anxiety about texting them because I feel like they're going to get mad at me. I feel like I can control how they perceive it. All I need to do is just be honest with this person. And like when I ask for things, not have a million caveats. And that way, when they get mad at me, they're mad about something that's true and that I can defend because it was true. as opposed to now he's mad at me for something that wasn't even true. And I go, well, I was, you ever, me and Rachel used to say this thing, Noah, about, you know, Esty, the woman at the Comedy Cellar, mm-hmm. she runs, we're all scared of her, even though she's a lovely woman, but she just like decides the lineups, and getting a set at the Comedy Cellar, it means everything to a comic. Even like Chris Rock kind of gets nervous around Esty. And I'm just saying that as an example. I don't know that to be true, but it's just you people that you would never, you would go, you care what Esty thinks about you? And they're like shaking in their boots. Like, I think Esty's mad at me tonight. And it's like, no, she just, you know, got someone cut her off in traffic on the way here. And she's like kind of annoyed by that. And it's nothing about you. However, Rachel and I always say that like when in our people pleasing days, we used to sit at that table with Esty and nervously at the Comedy Cellar. And if Esty would be like, oh, you know, I watched that Bachelorette last night. I saw the finale of the Bachelorette. We would try to have the opinion that we thought Esty was going to have, no matter how we felt about it. So I would go, oh, I hate her. Just because I would think like Esty would hate her, even if I don't hate her, right? So then I go, isn't she the worst? And Esty would go, no, I like her. And I go, oh, now I actually like her too. We could have had a good conversation, but now I've just have you ever done that, Noah, where you try to like give someone
people pleasing? Yeah.
And then you're stuck in this opinion that you don't even have. And then Esty's like, why do you hate her? And I'm like, I don't. And it's more embarrassing for me to admit that I tried to people please. So I'm just going to pretend like I do and come up with a bunch of more lies. I still find myself doing that. But the benefit now, and I said to this person, because I go, I'm sorry for, I just wish I would have been honest. And I was starting to beat myself up. Like, why do I still do this? Why am I still scared of you and your response? And the person was really good about being like, because I've conditioned you to be that way by my behavior in the past that I'm working on. Like, I haven't made you feel safe to be yourself around me. And I'm working on that. And I was like, fuck yes. I love someone who can see their side of the street, even if I'm the one in the wrong. And I was able to see my side. And I go, you know what? I'm so glad this happened, because it's going to make me more aware now when I send texts of what am I trying to get out of this? Why am I doing this? Am I really being authentic? Today I had an opinion about something and I knew that I would probably need to talk to this person. It was not confrontational, but it was like a touchy subject, and I wrote a whole text message, and I was like, this person doesn't need to receive this big block of text right now. I knew the person was like busy with something, and I'm like, I'm gonna see this person later. I can just talk to this person about it then. And so I was like, I had decided, like, just finish your thought and then copy and then paste this in your notes, and then if you want to send it later, send it, but just sit on it. Of course, I accidentally pressed send. So I wrote, please don't read it. Please don't read this now. It was meant to send later. And the person really appreciated it, actually, because, man, I had the best morning already. Because the person, I was telling a person that I was worried about another person in their life being maybe having signs of depression that I was picking up on as someone who suffered with it. And they were just exhibiting signs of depression that I've noticed just like that they don't even notice that they're giving out, that I just wanted to flag for this person who is a friend, is close to this person. And I go, it's none of my business, actually. Like, I don't need, I'm probably projecting. And he goes, actually, this is important, because as I've learned, like, no one, you know, when he goes, the Joe Rogan thing, remember when you sent out that tweet about wanting to shave your head and no one, it was a cry for help. But you were too scared to actually cry for help. So you put out a joke and only one person picked up on you being in pain, and then he reached out to you. That it takes that one person, the bystander effect, Kitty Genovese. Like, you think everyone else is doing it. You know, Noah, I don't know. How are you with like when you have friends who lost someone close to them, are grieving, are going through something that maybe you haven't been through before? Have you lost someone, like, have you suffered like a tragic death or loss in your life? Bruno, your dog, even comes to mind for me, is like, I wasn't there for you in the way that I would want to be there for a best friend for the death of Bruno.
We had
and it wasn't because I didn't care, but it was because I felt I would like to have been better, but I feel so, I've talked about this before. I really don't handle death well. And I sometimes abandon friends when they are dealing with it. And if a friend did that to me, if I lost my father or my dog or an earring I really liked, I would feel like mad at that friend, even though I do the same thing. Tell me about your experience with like comforting people through grief.
Well, hold on a second. I just want to go back and say, we had a very like meaningful and like touching conversation, after Bruno passed away, which I think about all the time. And I want to say that you once upon a time gave me really good advice about, I told you that like a friend of mine invited me to her bridal shower that was out in Long Island. And it was like this whole big thing to get there. And it was creating me more stress to go than to not go. And you told me, look, she's still going to have a great time that day, whether you're there or not. It's not your day. It's not about you being there, whether or not the party is great. So just let her know that you can't go. And I did, and everything was just fine. I felt better. I saw that she had a great time. And I think that also applies to when a person is mourning. And when I was going through Bruno's death, which is not really like this big tragic death. I have a friend who lost her mother in a very tragic way. But I wasn't thinking about, I can't believe that my friends are not here to comfort me. I was just like in this like vortex, and it was like my own world. But any little thing that someone gave me, like any morsel of just like acknowledgement, felt great. So I think
good. I'm glad to hear that a conversation we had, because I do remember having a conversation with you, but it I think it was long after I had first thought to reach out to you about it. And I think and you know, like when you comforted me that time in Cayman Islands, when I called you, like I kind of forgot about that too, you know, like you're sometimes you're not even aware of when you've helped out or when you've received help. Like I'm not, yeah. The story I'm telling myself might not be the story that other people are experiencing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just often feel like with you, especially like you're someone who I feel has been a better friend to me than I've been to you in terms of like,
I have no expectation. I know you don't.
That's the other thing. I never feel like I've come short. Like I know you'll ask for what you need from me. And that's what I want for all my friends is like, hey, if I bum you out and I'm not there for you in a way, will you let me know? And that's a lot to ask of other people. Like you should try to, but I will say that with Norm's passing, I have a couple friends who are very close to him, very close to him. And one friend in particular who is maybe was the closest to him, who is not someone I'm extremely close to. I mean, I pulled up, you know, his name to text him, and I hadn't texted him since December. And before that, it had been maybe a year and a half. Like it's, and I only texted him because we were meeting up with friends and I didn't know where to go. And I knew he was going to be there. Like it wasn't, we don't talk, you know, but we're friendly when we see each other. And I was like, this person is a part of many clips that are circulating right now. He's probably getting bombarded by support and condolences and all of that. But, you know, and I could let myself off the hook for this one. Even Spade, like I know Spade was friends with Norm, and I think I wanted to write him right away when I found out, but I waited a day and I just sent like a voice memo of like, I'm thinking of you. Like, it's uncomfortable for me to, like, be that sincere and, like, I don't know what to say. I'm thinking of you. I'm here. That kind of stuff. But I wrote to this person that is probably closer to Norm than anyone that I knew of. And this morning I just wrote and was like, I just thought about what maybe I would want to hear. I tried to, like, golden rule it for myself. And I also thought, like, all these clips I'm watching, whenever Norm is in a clip with this person, there seems to be, like, an energy to Norm that's, like, he just seems happy and comfortable. And I was like, wow, I'm really grateful for this person to have been in Norm's life. And so I just was like, I just wrote him like a thank you of like, thank you for bringing the best out in this person in the years that he knew you, the last years of his life that he was close to you. Like, thanks for making this icon that we all loved feel so, be the best version of himself. And honestly, it wouldn't be crazy to think that you prolonged his life, because, you know, surrounding yourself with people that make you happy and feel free definitely helps your health. And this person's obviously going through it. And I just said, you know, send me a voice memo whenever you want to like dump your feelings. I go, I don't even need to respond to it. You can tell me, don't write back. Like, sometimes that's, we so want nice. To cry and we don't want anything. We don't want it to be acknowledged, like what we just said, because it's so vulnerable. And also I go, voice messages like disappear. Like, if you ever want to just like spill it. And I don't know. I feel like that's such a sign of growth for me to be able to do that for people who, you know, I'm just a different person now. Like that it wasn't hard for me to do that. It wasn't easy, but it wasn't impossible. And I've really let down other people in my life before when they've lost people close to them. Because I feel like, honestly, like if I give a little bit, they're going to need me to stay over the night and hold them. And like, it's going to disrupt my life. And it's like, if it does, guess what? I can say no and go, what else can I do for you that is within my doing? Like, I can have boundaries around people that are grieving. And I feel like I get scared that I won't be able to. I also just want to say before we bring Andrew in, I just had a voice lesson, my first voice lesson. And I probably sang for like 2 minutes of the entire voice lesson. It was an hour. I met a new best friend. She is incredible. I talked so much about first of all, I walk in and her voice is like ASMR, like I was like soothed. She had a sweet little cat that came up and like instantly wanted to touch me. And I was just like, I feel very comfortable with this woman. And I just told her like what I needed in terms of a voice teacher. I don't want to know about the logistics of like the vocal cords slapped together and the air goes through here, like the diaphragm. I get the science and we can get there. But for me, it's going to be very mindful. And like, imagine your head is a balloon. Like, I like visualization techniques. She let me close my eyes when I sang, because it's embarrassing to sing, especially when you're like, ah, like your voice is like cracking. And she's like, just let it crack. That's like part of it. This is calisthenics. Like, you're going to, if you're doing aerobics, you're going to trip sometimes. Like, that's going to be that. And, but then we just got to start to talk about like, why, what, like when I get nervous talking to someone, if I ever grab my throat, it's because I'm like, I don't want to say, like, I'm really scared about what I'm about to say and I'm trying to hold it in. And like, when I grab my chest, it's because I'm like, I've just noticed these cues for myself. Sometimes I grab my chest when I'm like really feeling someone, like I'm just emotionally connected to someone and open. And then when I grab my throat, I am so closed off. And we just got into like the somatics of things, and she's like a Reiki healer. This woman is incredible. And like, we ended the session being like, I am so grateful to meet you. And we like had a huge embrace. And I was just like, new best friend, NBF. She's going to, you know, she allowed me, she was like, I'm comfortable being on camera. I'm like, well, the cameras that are about to follow me around are going to follow me to your place a lot. Because she goes, some of our sessions we can do Reiki instead. I go, or Reiki. And I go, no, we're adding on sessions. I want to be around you a lot. You're so calming and I feel so peaceful. Let's get Andrew in here and crank up the anxiety. JK, he makes me feel great too. Andrew! What up, Andrew?
Yo.
Sup? I'm wearing sunglasses today because, I don't know, I don't feel like putting on eyeliner yet. I didn't get a chance to.
I love the shades.
Thanks. I left my makeup in fucking, where are we, Charlotte?
You look very Machine Gun Kelly. Like, pink.
Thank you.
He loves pink.
You know what? Whatever daddy tells me to wear. That's what Megan Fox said on the red carpet. Did you see that?
No.
They're like, you look amazing tonight. She's like, I just wear whatever daddy says to wear. And then he was like, kind of embarrassed and like kisses her cheek. And the woman's like, now, like, you know, you're so talented too, Megan. Like, My Bloody Valentine. She was in like the video for My Bloody Valentine. And they're like, are we going to see you in any more videos? And she was like, yeah, I would imagine so, because I'm not going to let any like video hoes be next to him. And I was just like, this is doomed, because he's a musician who makes music videos, so no women are ever allowed to be in a video with him ever
or
again.
Or go to their concert. No women in the audience, no women.
I remember you asked me yesterday, are they in an open thing? Does that cover it for you, buddy? You go, maybe they're open. I go, no, she is not someone that will share that man. And rightfully so, but I just loved her saying no. No,
I think he'll break up with her, if I have to guess, within a year. That's what I'm guessing. Mm. Not to be a pessimist. He seems like he goes through a lot of stages, whether it's his music career.
Are you projecting?
No, not at all.
Of like different things he tries?
Yeah.
You try a lot of different things too.
Well, yeah. I mean, I could have something in common with the Gunner.
The Gunner. Oh my God. Spade sent me a picture of a guy that looked like him today and goes, Squirt Gun Kelly. It's like a low rent version. I liked it. Yeah, he's the Gunner. He got you in the scope.
I mean, I want to show you his documentary. He did this thing called Kelly Vision on YouTube where there were vlogs. But I'm talking, it went back 8 years ago. Like, you could see him like sleeping on a couch, like literally doing his first shows for like 9 people.
He is a genius.
Yeah.
I don't toss that word. Well, I do toss it around, but like he is truly.
You think you toss that around a lot?
You know, I think we all do. Yeah. Genius, it's like, is he going to get us to space? Is he going to get us landing on Mars? No. But musical genius, I do think he's up there with the greats. I don't know. He's just so...
So much wasted talent, huh? How many geniuses do you think out there that probably could have cured cancer, but instead they, like, I don't know, are a good mechanic? You know what I mean? Like, because they just didn't have the right schooling. Because they
didn't have the right parents that guided them in the right direction. I mean, you know, I think everything happens for a reason. I went to my voice lesson today, and I was talking to her about how, like, I got, like, I wanted to be a singer-songwriter, but, you know, that one time my mom got a call, like... I think she called my singing teacher to find out, like, does Nikki got it? Like, are we wasting our money here?
Are we dealing with a genius here?
Yeah, exactly. Like, is she a prodigy or not? And the answer was no, because most people aren't. You know, it's like,
how much were singing lessons? Maybe it was a financial issue back then.
I mean, I'm sure my mom didn't, like, shell out $20 for an hour or whatever it was back in 1999, 2001. Area, but you know, those pre 9/11 prices. It was more about driving to Chesterfield every Saturday or Sunday morning. Like, I remember that was, and so, you know, like not wanting your daughter to be embarrassing and to like know and to be more self aware. Like, stop pursuing this thing that you ain't got, bitch.
What is your mom? Because I remember you brought it up at that show. It was so funny when you were talking about it. Has she ever been like, you're misconstruing the history of this? And what does she say?
That one she doesn't remember.
Oh.
So.
Pleads the fifth?
Yeah, I think she doesn't remember. But I remember specifically she, you know, back then you didn't know. It wasn't even an option to be a singer-songwriter. Like, what was that? I didn't know how to play an instrument. So how am I going to be a songwriter? Like, even though that's what I wanted to be. And I think that. The goal then was just a cappella choir. That's why I got into it, was to become a better second alto. And then also musical theater. And I don't have a good voice for either of those things. Like, I have a good, but neither does Tom Waits. Neither does Eddie Vedder. Neither does a lot. I mean, I can't think of like women that have like different voices. But like Anya might not be great on Broadway, but her voice is perfect for the kind. And I don't even like Broadway. I do like talking like this, and I can and I will.
Because you're a star and a genius.
But, you know, that was the goal. So I think that when when she realized, like, I wasn't going to be a great Broadway singer, it was like, my daughter needs to make money someday. Like, I want my daughter to be successful. This ain't it. Let's focus on something else.
Where
be
do you think English that teacher. Hobby went to, like, so you didn't sing. So
yeah, what about you with football? Same
that's
thing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, well. Yeah, but I think it was my dad didn't want me playing football because I was so small. He thought I'd get hurt. Mm. But I mean, it wasn't really like, you know, with soccer, with traveling soccer, parents have to like sacrifice so much by taking their kids. Like, you know, some of these kids play like 65 games in a year. You know what I mean? Like, it's wild now.
And Taylor Swift's parents had to move to Nashville because they believed in her. Well, she put, you know, they she had enough. She wrote songs and sang and like.
Your mom wouldn't drive to Chesterfield. Her parents moved 9 states. I wasn't
dedicated enough. And, you know, some parents move to Hollywood for their kids. Yeah. And some of them are doing it because their kids want it. Some are doing it because they want it.
Or they just have a cocaine problem and it's better in Hollywood. like it was for the kid. Yeah. It was for the kid. You weren't really there for the kid. You were just.
So you have to have that perfect mixture of, like, the kind of supportive parent that even allows you to even have access to the football like program or the swimming program. Like all these people have parents that have either expendable money or they have so much promise early on that someone invests in them to finance these kinds of dreams.
Well, that's the thing. It's like we you know, my nephew is good at jiu-jitsu. He's been doing it a lot lately. Like he's unreal. But then with hockey, he didn't play hockey for like a year and a half, and he's only like 7 or 8. My brother brought him to like these tryouts, and he was by far like not even close to the, like it was noticeable, because in hockey it really shows, like if you can't skate as good, it's really, and it was so hard for him to be like, well, I'm good in this one thing, but then also he's 7 or 8, like do you give up on him because he's so far behind right now? Like
I think you,
when
just
do parents
go,
become,
no, you don't give up, you do, you go, first of all, you don't want to put your kid into anything I don't think that they don't want to do.
Yes.
And I know that some kids are like, I don't want to go to swim practice, and it's like, okay, well, do you want to be great at this? Do you like, do you, that, then there are certain things you're gonna have to do. But if the kid is like, I hate swimming, I hate hockey, whatever, then no. But if they, and even if they're not good at it and they still enjoy it, let them do it. But I think it's really about,
it's hard,
but then
to
we might
see
not
that,
have
though,
any
right?
violin players, because what kid really wants to play the violin?
I think,
but I mean,
at
there's
age
probably
eight,
some
kids start, I think at age 8 kids start to feel embarrassment also.
Right.
That's what I would be worried about. That's what I'd be worried about if he was at like the practice and he was by far the worst or something. You know, like being able to rationalize, well, I'm good at this because I do this a lot. I haven't done this a lot, but I should be.
I would
be as
give
good.
Examples of people that they admire, maybe even themselves. Like as a parent, I would say, well, let me tell you, like the thing that mommy is best at, she was really bad at, and I embarrassed myself so many times. And look at all these other people. Watch, you know, watch Michelle Williams fall on a catwalk. She was in Destiny's Child, though, and she said, "Prosperity." Like I would show embarrassing moments of people that made it to defray that. I guess that would be what my approach if someone was really embarrassed.
I mean, there's so many athletes that aren't great until they go through puberty, and like, I mean, I know this for an example. Like, I was freshman year in college versus senior year in high school. I was 30% stronger. It's when you go through puberty. Like, so to, like, deny your kids. So when you were singing, maybe your voice when you hit puberty started to become even better and you had more confidence. So it's like, I don't know. It's just like parents need to have.
I wasn't ready for it. I'm learning, like, through this. I went to the session today. I was just telling Noah.
Yeah, how'd it go?
I walked in.
Same person that you've done before?
No.
Oh.
New lady.
How did you find this lady?
Through a, I just Googled singing, like guitar singing lessons.
Yeah.
And I wanted to find someone who could do both, but they couldn't find anyone locally. So, and they're throughout the whole country. I don't remember. I just called a hotline and I thought it was local because Google, I don't really know.
It's like Massage
Envy
for singing.
Yeah. I called a guy and he's in Texas and his name was Noah, oddly enough. And I was like, explain my situation. And he's like, I go, I do comedy. Like, I.
Oh, this is on FaceTime.
No, this is on. No, I went to her place. But I, this is the dispatcher who finds you people. So they're
this
everywhere.
Is on a rotary
this company.
Phone.
Yeah.
This he's like, let me
everywhere.
Connect you. He's putting in like those
Let
cords.
Me give them a shout out because they really did find great teachers for me. And maybe teachers who are looking for work and placement can look at it. But
I got Dolores in South
Taylor
County.
Taylor Robinson Music. So I called this guy thinking that, exactly, Dolores in South County. So he, I'm talking to him on the phone. His name's Noah. And I was like, you know, I'm a comedian, but I'm trying to like transition to singing, songwriting. I don't know what I'm doing. Da, da, da. And he's like, oh, I'm actually just giving comedy a try. I'm usually a musician. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I go, I'm actually a famous comedian, Nikki Glaser. And he's like, oh my God. Well, all right. Well, yeah, I've watched a ton of your stuff. And then he was like talking about like, and he wasn't that impressed, which was cool, but he was just like, okay, cool. All right. Well, we'll help you out. And he placed me with this woman, down the ways. I got to go to a part of St. Louis I've never been to before. That was so cute. And just like on the other side of King's Highway, it's called like, I forget what she said it was called, but I walked in and I told Noah instantly, like her voice is ASMR. Her like house was dimly lit. She had a really sweet cat that just came right up to me. There was just an energy about this girl that like, I was just like, I love this. And I just felt comfortable in sharing my experience of what led me there and like the ups and downs. And like, and then pretty soon, you know, we talked the entire time. Like there was no singing. There was a little bit of singing, but like not much because we just both ended up sharing like struggles in our life and how we found things later in life. Like we found out who we really were later in life when we thought along the way we had like found it or, and we had tried to escape it. And like, we have a very similar story. I don't think either of us ever thought that we would get in within an hour to the places we went emotionally. Like she almost started crying at one point. I was almost crying at one point. At the end of it, we like hugged and we're just like, I like love you. Like I, this is like, it felt like, you know, the universe worked some magic to put these two people together that I was like, she's like a healer. She's an energy. She does Reiki, you know, and sound healing. And I go, I've only done sound healing like on reality shows where it's like, isn't this weird? Let's make fun of it. And so I was like, I'm dying to do those sessions. So we just like, it was like therapeutic and her, I'll ask her permission at some point to share some of the things I learned about her. But I like, she's just some, I'm going to be able to get close to someone who has a story that I am very excited to like unwrap because it's like, you know, it's just a, it's, I've never met anyone who's had like enough intimacy with someone to really ask about the process that they have gone through to like be who they are. And like, I just feel like I finally have that kind of friend who, can like make me empathize with a type of person or a like that I've always wanted to empathize with those with a human with that's been through that experience, but I've always been almost scared to engage because I'm like they don't want to be friends with me and I don't really they probably look at me like I don't like I you know it's just when I there's I always have I'm always I was talking also about like reaching out to friends of Norm to like comfort them or to like offer my support and like I just feel like because I haven't suffered deep loss or I haven't been through the same kind of trauma or even anything close to it, that they don't want to hear me ask questions, that my questions are almost going to seem either like I can't relate or like voyeuristic, like, wait, tell me what it's like to do that. Yeah. Or like, and I never want, I just, but the truth is like, they can tell me that. They can have boundaries and say, hey, I'd rather not share that. Like, I can ask questions and not be, like, a bad person for...
Well, what do you want to find out? Like, what are the
things... Like, let me give an example. Like, it would be, like, if someone I get grew what you up said, in, yeah. like...
an abusive household.
Or, no. Like in Palestine. Like, if I met a refugee. Now, I feel like I can't... I don't want to be friends with refugees because, first of all, I can't even fathom the experience of that. And they're going to look at me like this privileged piece of shit that I'm also going to feel like. I also don't know anything about the conflict and where they came from and, like, don't know any of the history of it, so I feel stupid about what they're going through. I feel ignorant. And I feel like, yeah, they could teach me about it, but I should know by now. So I feel like I'll have to do research beforehand. I don't want to have to do, you know, like all those hangups I have about someone else's experience that keeps me from actually being friends with people who I deem like other, you know, and other meaning like good or bad other. Like even like, you know, I was talking yesterday to the woman that I'm working with on writing my book about babysitting for the Apatows and being like, I felt like a fucking disgusting like hobo. Walking in their house and pulling my Civic up to their beautiful gate. Like, I felt like it might be like I would go through the gate and they'd be like, we sent a car from before 2005. Please detonate. Like, they would like just sense that I was dirty and like didn't belong in their world. And I feel that sometimes.
Did you feel that though, the more you got to know them?
No, that's what I loved about that experience. Yeah, was like they were such a normal family.
Yeah. I mean,
do you struggle with like comforting people when they've gone through loss?
You know, it was so funny. I was literally just listening to Bob Saget do a talk on YouTube about his relationship with Norm, and it was so touching. And I was like, should I write Bob Saget? Like, because we're friendly in a way.
Yes.
Should I write him on Instagram and be like, hey, I just listened to your thing, and, you know, my thoughts are with you. Something like that. Not a question. Totally. Just like... Oh, you're heard, because who knows if anyone's writing him or whatever. And it just hit me
it
like...
It might be the bystander effect. Everyone thinks that he's getting a bunch.
Yeah, and I just... And then I go, I do have thoughts like, well, am I doing that for selfish reasons? Am I doing that because Bob will like me more?
You question it.
But I don't... I question him like... I would say I'm 90-10. Like, I just want to... That it's not for that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But to your point with the Palestinian thing and like being like, well, I don't have the same experience... What I've found, and, you know, whether I'm in a bar, a shitty bar, sitting next to a guy that's a Vietnam vet who maybe lost 10 friends and might be missing an eye, or if I'm sitting next to a rich guy who, they're all human at the end of the day, and you don't end up like even talking about those like really in-depth things of like where you're from, and like, no, you just bond over
the bachelorette,
just a connection, yeah, something like that.
Totally,
but just like a connection, just a human connection.
But what if they don't get the bachelorette in Palestine?
Then you talk about reruns of Garfield.
Yeah, that's true. They probably, it's got huge Garfield there. Friends.
Yeah, it just came out. but you know what I mean? Like,
I think you should reach out to Bob, but also I always feel like, oh, they're going to feel like they have to get back to me. And so I always do the caveat of like, you don't even have to respond to this. I just want to let you know I'm thinking of you. And then like, boom, yeah. It like releases everything. So I think you should write him. Let's get to the news.
The news, apparently. Here it comes.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Yo, folks, the weekend's coming up. You know what that means. Grab your suntan lotion, grab your alligator raft, because it might be the last weekend you could go into a pool because it's getting a little chillier out there.
Oh, I love, you know what? When fall starts coming through, I go, the planet's still working. Like, it's a reminder that climate change hasn't completely decimated any form of, like...
But I heard that climate change, that winters are going to get colder. But
yeah,
anyways,
that's true. Yeah. I'm not, well, global warming is like the misnomer.
Okay.
You know, where it's like, it's not what it sounds like, but it is still a thing. And it just because it's global, people go, well, I'm freezing. There's no global warming. Trump 2020. It's like, but.
All the swells, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't want to forget.
I don't know. The crispness of fall coming through, it gives me like a sense of peace that like, okay, climate is still kind of reliable in ways, because it's getting kind of unreliable. Okay. What's the first story?
A man allegedly defecates in a grocery store freezer. Woman accidentally puts hand in it while reaching for pizza rolls.
Was it frozen, though? Oh, this is goes back to picking up dog poop and whether it's hardened or soft or your own dog's.
I don't think it was frozen yet because it was so
it just
fresh.
Just on it, yeah.
Yeah, they got him on video. Shitty.
I mean, this guy.
It's funny, but the woman was traumatized. She goes, I was upset. I was disgusted. I feel like I was violated.
Yeah.
I was almost in tears.
Oh, my God. I can't believe she wasn't in tears. I mean,
that being said, this is a great diet program. You know what I mean? You're reaching for pizza rolls.
Oh, my God. That's true. And you just get a handful of shit.
Yeah, I wish they shit on my fingernails so I don't eat them.
I bet the nutritional, contents of that shit was probably more beneficial than what was in those pizza rolls. I mean, that is honestly so disgusting. And shit is a huge violation. It is just so
bad,
toxic, and so... it's so funny that we carry around something inside our bodies, each and every one of us, that is mere just folds of skin away from the outside world that would cause someone to shriek in horror if they touched it or came into contact with it. You know, isn't that interesting?
It's so funny. It's like, it's just so funny to think when we're just computers. It's like our trash, like, oh, you got to take out these files,
but
these
like,
shitty files.
I know I always say it, but poop is so weird that like when you take a huge shit, or like, let's say that's one that you don't even see coming, and it just, you go, oh my God, I was just in Lululemon with that. Like, I feel like I was smuggling.
Yeah.
Like that poop was in Lululemon, like, or something. Like, I went on a date and I had that poop in me. It's
I think about the same thing with just organs. I feel the same way. Like right now we have like a liver in it, like this just floating,
just like this
and
gelatinous
blood in us.
Like
it's so tubes. Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, dude.
It is.
Also,
bags of blood and poop.
It's so funny.
And bones.
That, unless you're a woman once a month and then that blood gets away from you because it doesn't even want to be near you. Edge notes.
Edge notes.
So what was also great about this is they were driving back home and she cleaned off the poop and her kids kept going, we still smell
it.
We still smell it. And she's like, I'm trying. Like, oh my God.
And you know, it becomes a phantom smelly, but she's going to be haunted by that for a while because smell is a cognitive thing, as we've learned with COVID. Like your brain, something in the brain happens that makes you lose your sense of smell. It's not directly related to like your nose.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's cognitive. I mean, it's like I do that when I first move into a new place. There's so much anxiety when I usually move that I can't stop smelling something that makes me go, I need to leave. this is just, this place has a, something dead in the walls, or the person who lived here before.
Like as a scapegoat to not move in there?
It just, because I'm so anxious about living there and I so don't, I'm scared that I will invent something. It happened, I've now recognized it because it's like, it can't, and then it eventually goes away. So I don't get used to it. Other people can't smell it. And I'm not someone who's like very fine tuned to smells where I go, something smells. I need to get, like, I have friends that are like, I don't like I don't care about perfumes and stuff. I'm not that, but there will be a stench that is so powerful that
and it's connected to your brain, you think. You don't
It's connected to my dislike of the situation, and it just like I invent it. It's like a phantom smell.
And then you're like, "Oh wait, no, I picked up dog shit with my hands. That's what it was."
Yeah.
That's,
I mean, like I that like, poor woman. It is assault. Shit is assault.
Smell is weird like that because like I remember there's a place in Florida where they burn sugar cane, and it's like the strongest stench ever. And we used to play football, and it'd be the most ominous thing ever. You get off the bus, and you smell it. And it's like, oh my God, we're going to get killed out. We're in the middle of like a sugar cane field. And then 20 minutes later. I bet that
smell would have been good had you had a lot of victories there.
Yeah, but the team was really good that happened to live
there. So you were scared. So you like, smells wild that it can bring you back. I mean, it is, I think it's one of.
But it went away though, what I was saying, like in 20 minutes. You don't even smell anymore. Well, it smells interesting.
That's our evolution. That's I learned that in my psychology class at Boulder. It was one of the only things I gleaned from. But it's really fascinating. The reason you get used to smells is because smell helps you determine if something's like bad. You don't want to eat it, or it's like a threat to your survival. So if you would have a bad smell and you had time to go, okay, that's a bad smell. I know about it. You need to be able to smell other smells, so your body just becomes lets you off the hook for that. And it's the same reason why if you look at your eyes closely, your eyes are always moving very rapidly back and forth. Like they're always twitching like this. And they're never steady, because if they are steady, which they've been able to make vision steady, it completely goes blind, because just for the same reason.
Oh.
You need to know other things that are coming in, new. So if something, a bird flew, you would see that. But the static image that you're looking at, that's why your eyes are completely always twitching, is to
so
keep.
So more is happening, your so eyes you will don't be have twitching blind
spot. More? No. Actually, if it's more stagnant, I would think that your eyes would be twitching more to reorient, to go, okay, re-up this, like keep it going.
Whoa.
It's really fascinating. I love that. Let's, next story.
God, the human body.
You should do one of these stories as the edge and respond to it, if you want.
Yeah, I'm down.
Maybe the next one is a really good one.
Okay, Edge, give us the next story, Edge. This is our new character that Andrew does. It's an edgy comedian.
Yo, you're going to like this.
Oh, shit. What's up? I am.
Yo, this article's wild. All right, so a Hollywood enthused attorney was arrested.
Oh, wait, hold on. Go back.
Oh, wait. Yo.
A Hollywood enthused?
Wait, I'm sorry. Hollywood is not supposed to be in there. Oh, wait.
Oh, I'm sorry. Halloween.
Halloween.
Fucking can't read, bro. That's that private school education that I got that I was overpaid for that I didn't study that much. Yeah. All right. So anyway.
But that wasn't your fault, was it?
Never my fault.
Yeah. Okay. What is the actual headline?
So a Halloween enthused attorney was arrested after.
Wait, I still don't know what you're saying. Halloween enthused?
Lady, yes. What are you doing?
Enthused, like a Halloween-enthused attorney. An attorney who
a
really
fan
likes
of Halloween, who's an attorney.
Yeah, woman.
Yeah.
It's like talking to a rock with hair. Anyhow, man, Jesus.
I'm just glad you acknowledge that I have good hair.
I didn't say it was good, lady.
Stop calling me lady.
Okay, bitch.
I honestly would prefer that. It makes me feel younger than lady.
Okay, miss. Okay, so a Halloween enthused attorney was arrested after he took a stroll down a beach dressed as the slasher movie villain Michael Myers, complete with a fake blood-covered knife.
Okay.
He turned to his cosplay humor when Hurricane Nicholas shut down courts.
I don't like the Edge reading. I feel like I don't even like Andrew reading, but the Edge really suffers. We're losing all intonation that would clue me into what the hell you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm guessing a guy that's a lawyer, that's separate from the story. He is a lawyer, though. That's his profession. He's walking down the beach dressed as Michael Myers with a blood-soaked knife. Why?
Because there was a hurricane and the courts were closed for the day. So he just wanted to entertain himself. And he ended up getting arrested.
Good.
Why can't a man... Okay, just hear me out.
I'm listening.
This is why California sucks. This is why everyone's moving out of California. Yeah. That's why I moved to Texas. Yeah. Well, you can't carry a fucking bloody knife on a beach.
I mean, I think it's just like it would seem like that guy has murdered someone and he's trying to scare
that's
people.
That's the problem. Everyone's a fucking snowflake. You can't fuck. I don't want to say it.
I feel like you should.
No, I'm just saying, like, oh, victim blaming, all this shit. Like, it's like, oh, them, you know?
Well, I don't think this has to do with, like, you know, people who would want to be referred to different pronouns. This is about
why this guy can't get referred to as Mike Myers.
Well, it's not Halloween yet, so it's just out of context, and it's just like, that's just scary. You wouldn't be, tell me, Edge, you wouldn't be scared if you're on the beach with your girl, taking some pictures. With your girls. And you saw a guy, you don't think they would freak out if they saw a guy dressed as Michael Myers with a blood-soaked knife
coming
at them, walking down the beach, having like and I know Michael Myers does enjoy long walks on the beach.
Yeah.
He's a romantic, but
That's how he gets up his strength.
You walk in sand
instead of the street, your leg muscles get stronger. You become stronger, your leg kicks are better, UFC is number one.
Okay, I get that. Not to be on
Edge's team, but it was during a hurricane.
You.
There was no one on the beach. And something funny from the article was...
He was wearing a mask.
And someone had called the cops on him. And when the cops arrived, he was trying to like keep the gimmick going until they like pulled their weapons out on him. And he's like, oh, okay.
I don't understand doing this for yourself, though. Like, this...
It is weird.
You definitely aren't. That's kuh. You're doing something kuh because someone did see him enough to call the cops. Like, he didn't go out in hurricane, like, hurricane, like, five force winds, whatever. Like, he went out when it was like, don't go on the beach.
Yeah.
But, like, he got seen. He knew he was going to get seen. This guy is so, oh my God, it reminds me of a cringe
thing I saw on
Reddit.
I love
it
for a good idea for a new movie, though. Think about it.
Okay.
Halloween Hurricane. Hurricane versus Mike
you know,
Myers.
When you tell me to think about it before you say something,
yeah.
When you do that, it really works on me because
then you think?
Because no, even if I don't think about it, I know that what you're telling me that what you're about to say requires me to be smart.
Yeah.
And I want to be smart. So I'll just think you're smart and like I will want to prove to you I'm smart. So when you say that, it's almost like a device you've created in order to get your dumb audience to think they're smarter than they are.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well, think about it. We'll be right back with Sports Moment of the Week. All right, let's get to it. It's Andrew's Weekly Sports Moment. Here's Andrew's Weekly Sports Moment.
Oh, man. It sounds like you almost want to do it twice a week with that enthusiasm. All right. Olympic gymnasts testify in front of U.S. Senate about the pathetic lack of response to Larry Nassar's reign of terror.
I saw this alert come up and I didn't read it, but Simone Biles' name came up. This poor girl having to relive this for so many years after they already have done testimony. Like, so what are they upset about? I mean, obviously.
Because reports, there were so many fucking reports about this guy.
Yeah, and
they did
they
nothing.
Ignored it.
Yeah, they ignored it.
Starting 1999, and he was in prison in 2017.
This guy got away. It's so interesting to watch Athlete A, that Netflix documentary. I didn't even finish it because it was just so upsetting, but... The way this guy worked was that the coaches were so mean.
Which I'm sorry, which documentary is?
It's called Athlete A.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. It's about the gymnasts and this guy, a lot of it. I don't know if it's all about him, but it's just about the abuse these women incur from their coaches. So mean, these coaches, just cruel, make them feel fat, make them feel like failures, constant ridicule and criticism. And honestly, this guy who would then abuse them, this doctor, was actually the only person who would be kind to them around the abuse. You know, like, so a lot of abuse victims, from what I understand, they get so confused about the abuse because there's something comforting about it, especially when you're living in a world where you're abused so egregiously and like so obviously, where you're being called fat and like yelled at. Anyone would go, that's abuse. But then this guy is nice to you.
He's a doctor.
And listens to you. And like, he would be very nurturing. Like, he was kind. Like, they said he was actually kind and he would kind of make them feel good about the things that the coaches would yell at them about. And he would kind of make them feel like, don't listen to them. Like, he would be someone that they could talk to and they would almost look forward to these sessions. But then they were also getting fingered during these and violated. But they were so abused on the other side of it that they almost looked forward to this other type of abuse, which doesn't mean that they liked it or anything. And that's why these molesters are so fucking good, because they make themselves indispensable in a child's life and offers them, because a lot of molesters choose victims who come from broken homes that need comfort and a warm meal and a warm house or just a place to escape from the violence that they're dealing with every day or the emotional abuse. And then they get abused and they keep coming back. A lot of kids choose to go back and it's actually not a choice, because why wouldn't you? It's the lesser of two evils, and it's just so disgusting. And this guy is just awful.
Whatever, that old tale of like a wolf in sheep's clothing, like the doctor jacket, the feeling of like, this is obviously a brilliant man. He's a doctor. He's wearing a coat. He has lab results. Like, and
never
then it's
leave
like,
your oh. child alone with a doctor. I know there are doctors out there, but just be in the room with a doctor. Like, I'm sorry.
Then
I
the
just,
other thing too is like,
anyone's capable of this kind of shit.
I do feel like, I think what happens is then they go, okay, they complain about this doctor, and then it's like, well, if we say the doctor is fucked up, that doctor was hired by me. And then that person goes, well, I'm not going to say anything. And then the person above them is like, well, I hired that person. And that's what happens with like these because everyone's ass is on the line, because everyone has to go.
If this doctor is doing fucked up stuff, what about the fucked up stuff I'm doing as the coach abusing these women? If they're going to have a problem with this doctor, who seems to be nice by all accounts from my perspective, if they have a problem with whatever he's doing, that nice Larry guy, well, then I'm going to come under scrutiny for how I treat these women. It's like, and USA Gymnastics, they're evil. And they use these women, these old pieces of shit who could never do any of the things these women could do physically, and yelled at them and made them have amenorrhea where they didn't get their periods. They made them starve. They made them, you know, just the abuse these girls went through in order to be great, and with or without their parents even knowing what was going on, and the pressure. I mean, gymnasts are always perfectionists, and I really relate to that. I just wasn't good at tumbling, but I could have fallen into this as well. And it's like, they should be furious at USA Gymnastics, because Larry is his own evil, but they knew the whole fucking time.
It's the same thing with the
FBI knew too.
It's the same thing with the Penn State stuff.
That's what they were saying. Like, in their testimonies yesterday, they were just like, we started reporting this like almost 20 years before you guys did anything about it. It took the FBI, like the FBI wouldn't even do follow-up calls with them or
anything. This is why women don't report rape or don't report abuse, because no one fucking believes you. And even if they do, they don't do anything. So like, I was with someone recently, and she was telling me about one of her her friend's young daughters reached out to her because she had been raped at a party by a guy that, this girl is a lesbian and just came out as a lesbian in high school. And there was a guy at the party that was like, I'll challenge you. And they were kind of like friendly and drinking and flirting and like lightly hooking up. And then it just turned into rape. Now, this girl was drinking. She also kind of like got alone with the boy. She felt responsible for putting herself in that situation where he then held her down and raped her. And this girl couldn't go to her parents because she was too scared. She went to this person that I know. The person that I know said, I will do whatever you want to do, but I support either side, because let me just let you know this, where you come from and the school district you're at and who this boy is and who his family is, this could ruin your life more than just keeping it secret. And you know what? As much as I wanted to say, no, that's the wrong thing to tell this girl, have her report it. What evidence do I have that things go right? It's so fucking sad for women. It just seems so easy. I have a friend that is one of the most outspoken, badass bitches ever. And I've told this before. She went to a salon, got a massage at a reputable place. The guy put his finger in her asshole. And this girl is a girl that will be like, get into brawls in bars with girls that look at her the wrong way. Very confrontational, not scared to speak her mind. She was frozen in fear by this thumb going in her ass. didn't do anything
yeah.
because she didn't know what to do. And then didn't want to, I go, did you call the place and report the guy? No, I don't want to see him again. If I report him, I'll have to like go to court and see him. I don't want to ever associate, like I don't want to know about it.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just going to be my word against his because maybe he'll just say that it was slipped and I know it wasn't a slip, but it doesn't matter. It's like, it proved to me that even this friend that I would think is out of all my friends is the one that would stand up the first and foremost. Yeah. She didn't. So for me to even go, you have to, I don't fucking know what I would do.
Yeah.
And it's God just, damn. It's so broken. Let's all stand up for women. Let's get to Fanthrax. And men, by the way. Men can be abused as well. This is our weekly segment.
Weird to hear that outside the bedroom, huh, Noah?
Yeah. That is Noah's you. Fiance, Avi. thank you so much for that soundbite, Avi. Let's get to Fanthrax, which is our weekly segment where we go through the voicemails you leave us on our Instagram page. The link is in the bio to leave us a voice memo. I know some of you are scared to do that. You can always erase it, or at the end of it, if you're like, oh, I don't like this, you can just say don't use this one, and we'll abide by that. And you can send us a DM also to be like, I sent something and I don't want it, like you're safe. So take a chance and leave us a voice memo, and we won't make fun of you ever on them, or at least we'll try not to. Let's get to them.
But the edge, Mike.
Okay, here's a voicemail from Allie and Nat.
Hey, Nikki, we're two besties living in Central West End in St. Louis, and we listen to your podcast, and we're going to your show next weekend, and we're so excited about it. And we just had a question about dating for you.
So we always listen to your podcast and get a lot of our dating advice and what we give to other people from your podcast. We always recommend it too. Basically, our biggest problem is we put guys that we like or go on a date with on a pedestal. We have a lot of guy friends that we have no issue just being like our normal selves, not caring about them. And then they end up developing feelings for us, which is, I mean, it's just not who we want to date. But the guys that we do want to date will go on like three dates, and then we're trying to come up with wedding hashtags with our friends and discuss when's the right time to move in with them and everything. If we need to get out of our lease early to move in with them when they buy their
house.
So basically we just need to figure out how to apartments. Not do that. It's not really working out in our favor. So if you have any advice, that would be great. We're so excited to go to your show. And thank you so much for making this podcast.
Thank you. Allie and Nat, I want your podcast. You sound so fun. Please say hey if you ever see me walking around the CWE. Okay, what I would recommend is date a lot of people, because it will be a way to, like, you know, the way to get guys to like you is to act like you don't give a shit. It just is. Like, to act like you've got, you're happy, you don't need them, you got shit going on, you're busy. And if you date multiple people at the same time, you will never put all your eggs in one basket, and it will be it's an easier way to give the impression that you don't care about a guy. Even if you really like one guy more than the other, just keep cast a wide net, which I know it's very hard to do that, but just like keep swiping, keep opening yourself up to others. Also, read Getting to I Do. Just read Getting to I Do. I know you guys are young. You sound very young. I would just, I would do that. And also, Noah, do you have any other advice for them? But I feel like that's the reason she says to duty date, which is like, just don't date for marriage. Like, just date a bunch of different people, because when you are busy and keep your, like, when you have other dates and like things going on, it's just an easy way to play hard to get without actually having to like pretend that you're busy when you're not, because you will be busy.
Right, exactly. I think continuing dating is a very good advice. And also Pat Allen from the book, she says, when a guy is with you, he's not really present, because he's just like thinking about your body. He has his like sexual desires and everything, but it's when he's alone that's when he really starts to think about like your compatibility and all of that. And she said it takes guys a month to be distracted, and then it could take them up to 2 months, 8 weeks to figure out like, hey, I really like this girl, I'm gonna call her back. And at that point, women are just like, who are you?
Yes.
And then guys are like, women are so insensitive. So just
men
patience.
Fall in love in the absence. Women fall in love when you're with them. And like that is, I mean, I've heard that a million times, but I am totally feeling like, I promise you, Nat and Allie, that that is true. In my experience, I've seen it recently. Like, I will be with someone and I'll be like, I don't even think he likes me. And then I will just go away and not write back, not like follow up with a text, anything. And there'll be something that there, I can feel their affection grow from me from a distance. It just, yeah. They need to download what they experience. They're not present when they're with you. So my best advice is do all the things you want to do. Hashtag write your name with his last name. Figure out how you're going to hyphenate it when you have kids. All those things. Do not text them ever. And if you want to, draft texts, but don't ever convince yourself you should reach out to them. It's not to play games. It's because it's just, it's gonna serve you best too. Like,
don't feel like that sometimes it's like, if you have to do all these things, then that's not the right person. Like, I feel like they're like, well, no. After three dates,
Brenna used them on you. I'm sorry. She
got to read the book.
Brenna gave me Why Men Love Bitches. She used these tactics on you.
Okay, I know. But let's hear my question, though. Like, if there's, I get what you're saying, but I do think that there's guys out there where if after three dates they want to, like, marry this person, well, why are you feeling this way? Because the guy's probably not making you the number one right away.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying work on those things. Like, let yourself do that, but know that that's insane.
Yes. Yeah. But I'm just saying though, like, if it takes 10 things to make this person be the person you think, I just start to wonder, okay, maybe there's someone out there where it's maybe three things. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
That's a good point.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, stop picking people that don't want to be changed, because you're not going to change them. And even if you do, then you're going to just, like, make an asshole somewhat cool for a little while. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Do not sleep with them. Allie and Nat, do not have sex with these men. I know.
For how many dates?
Until you either decide that you don't want a commitment and you truly don't want this person to be your boyfriend, but if there is any inkling that you would like a long-term relationship with this person, do not let them in your vagina, number one. And if you can, not your mouth either. That one's harder. But I would recommend getting the thing that I bought. Where is it? This little sleeve. And jerk them off with this thing. A lot of lube. Keep it in your little purse and jerk them off. But do not fuck them, no matter how much they tell you they want you to. I swear to God, they might be frustrated and be like mad, and like you might part in like a bad way. But say, you know what? I bond emotionally. You can explain it, because people always go, how am I going to tell a guy this? I know that when I have sex, I bond emotionally in a way that I'm not ready to bond with you yet, because I don't trust you. That a guy loves a woman with boundaries and who, like, they know, because let me reiterate this, men know men. And if men get you to sleep with them too soon, which is before commitment, they will not trust you, because they know that you are easily manipulated. Even if you're not, they will think that you are going to be like ripe for the pickings, and they won't trust you, and they'll have a hang up about it. So prove to them, you have to like trick them into them thinking that you won't get banged by a bunch of guys, because they all just think that every man can trick you and fuck you because they're men and that's like what they think men do. But you just, I know you want to have sex with them. I know you want to blow them. Less is more. And it took me 37 years to learn this. Don't give them what they want. Let them finger you. Let them go down on you. Whatever. But do not do anything to them. And I swear to God, they will like you more than you think they're going to like you.
You thought about this when you were three?
That's like, that's my least favorite thing is when people are like, I waited 38 years to find the love of my life. And I'm like, you were like a toddler being like, where's my wife? My wifey. What the
I like you as three, being like, I'm not going to fuck Jeff in the playground.
Hilarious. Okay, we have time for one more.
No. Let's just move along to the next one. There's so many good voicemails. So this is from Melissa.
Hi, besties. It's Melissa. Love the podcast. Wanted to let you guys know that I just want to tell everyone everything that I learn on this podcast. And I am also very self-aware of the fact that it's annoying to constantly be saying, oh my God, I learned this on a podcast. So I started just saying that my friend Nikki or my friend Andrew, or my friend Noah told me whatever the fact is. And most people just kind of go with it. And only my boyfriend has questioned, who the fuck is this friend Noah? I've literally never heard you be friends with anyone named Noah.
Oh my God.
And eventually I had to tell him that Nikki was Nikki Glaser, and then he said, are you really friends with her? And I said, yes.
Yes.
So there's that. And I also wanted to let you guys know that after all your recommendations, I got Getting to I Do, and I read it, and I read it too late, because the day before I read it, I asked my boyfriend if he wanted a hand job, because I was gonna do that extra lube trick that Nikki talked about, and then he was like, no, I'm tired. And then I found out that since I'm feminine energy, I shouldn't be asking him if I can give him hand jobs. I should be waiting for him to ask for hand jobs or whatever. Basically, I wanted to know if you guys have tips about how do you take the learnings from that book and add them into a 7-year long relationship when it's kind of too late for some of it.
Totally.
Would love any tips. Love the pod. Love you guys. Bye.
Love you. Okay, here's what I would say. You could have said, you know what? I really would love to try to give you a hand job with a technique I heard about. I would love, phrase everything from what you want and like what you like, your feelings. I feel compelled to give you a hand job right now. Like, start everything with I feel. Also, I think from what I've learned from people in relationships that read the book and how it applies to already in a relationship, you know, when a conflict comes up, if you're the feminine energy, say, hey, I've been feeling confused and a little sad about something, and I would love to talk to you about it. Let me know what is a good time for you. And then they get to then schedule a time that works for them, so that when, and maybe it might be then, but at least they've agreed, it's almost like it's their idea. Noah, is that correct?
Yeah.
Kind of interpretation?
You could absolutely still use the book to help your communication and maybe just like to have like your relationship take on a new life.
Can you give me an example of something maybe you've done in your relationship that is different? Because you read the book before you got in a relationship, but like maybe things that, because you still go back to the book and re-up.
Even this morning I went back to it and I was like, oh yeah, I have to stop like injecting my opinion at how Avi handles certain things, or like if I feel like he can take a shortcut that I know about when he's driving, to just keep my mouth shut.
Oh, so you just keep it shut. You don't go like, I feel like the ramp here will be a quicker way. You don't say that. You just go the longer way?
Well, I have been more in my masculine energy, because I'm like, why don't you take the shortcut? Don't you know about this road?
Is there a way to take the shortcut and to suggest a shortcut in a feminine energy? I would love to know that. Or do you just, because there's so many times where I see a guy doing something on a computer or dealing with electronics, and I'm like, God, I know how to do this.
It's just this. Hey, I know a better way. Do you want me to tell you about it? Do you want to hear it? Or, hey, I know another way, not a better way. I know another way.
I know. You can speak from I know. I feel like I might know a better way. Would you like me to say what that is?
Andrew's going to murder
always
us.
Ask for permission to say an opinion. Does that work? Do you think that would work?
Yeah, I think like, Andrew, I don't know. We were kind of talking. Huh?
I feel as if I feel like I have a way for you to take that pizza out of the oven that might help. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just a way of saying something to someone that just it doesn't come off as a demand. That's
right.
All. So it's like, if you know a better way, be like, hey, this way might be faster. Should we try it? Or you want to try it?
Something exactly like, what, yeah.
And the tone of it is
ask
very
for permission
important.
To say
but,
the thing.
But then, like what we were saying, though, before, like about another situation that we were in, like, do you have to baby the person as well? So there's like,
yes.
Are you just sensitive to my tone? Not saying Avi. I'm just saying like, are these, is this man perceived as a man? Like, you got to be a man. You can't be like, why do I have to talk to you? Like, why do I have to be nice to you when I tell you something? Why can't you just handle it like a man? You know, there's that pressure. So
I think it's just like, so, I think you're
like,
right.
My point is like, is it the person you're talking to? I'm sure it could be a mixture. Like, I think what we learned with the Pizzagate is that like
like, new Pizzagate.
Like, there could be a criticalness on your side, and then there could be a sensitivity on my side, and I think there's a balance.
We both need to work on each of those things.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Think you're right. I think it's, I think that's, final thought. I think that there are these tricks that you learn in this book, Getting to I Do, but that, they're actually getting what you want to do, because I think the first thought, what I learned in like 12 step stuff is like, your first thought is usually a lot of people go with your gut, whatever your first thought is. I think that's actually like bad advice. I think the first thought is generally like your body reacting, your fight or flight response, which can really get you into some trouble, tempered by either a pause and thinking of how would I like to present this information? How would I like to receive this information? But also considering that, maybe don't phrase it the way you would like to hear it because you're not them. So have empathy for like a man wants to be respected in a relationship. You want your feelings to be cherished. So think of maybe how could I put this in a way that will maintain and reiterate that I respect him over and that I respect him, which, is I know this shorter way. Okay, my impulse is to go, well, you always go this way. Will you go that way? Because it is shorter, and I don't even understand why you always go that way. It's like you choose to be late for things. That's how I want to say it, right?
Yeah, that's not.
So pause.
Pause.
So pause and go.
Look at no.
I know. So pause and go, okay, so I want him to take this way. It's coming up. Shit. Okay. I don't even know if it'll work, but I think there might be a shorter way.
No,
would you want to try that? No, thank. Oh, so I might know of a shorter way. Would you want to try it if I can come up with what that is? Would you want to try it?
I mean, I almost feel like the first thing, although it was how, like, I almost feel like you could almost say it exactly how you want to say it. It's just how you say those exact words. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's like a disgust that I have.
It's a disgust. Yeah, yeah.
Because I do have disgust.
Yes.
It's honest. It's disgust of, like, why do you have to be such a stubborn man that you have to do it your way? Like, I get mad that I have to be a quaint little woman in the passenger seat and be like, I know I'm a faster driver. We could get there sooner. Like, I get so angry about, like, the fact that I'm a woman and that means that I have to, like, abide by this man's feelings and make him feel like he drives the right way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then
you don't
I start
want that.
Having the self-hatred that I have for myself, and then I project it.
Yes. But then you don't. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I get mad ahead. More about, like, how come I take the time to figure out, like, where all the lights turn green in a certain sequence where I can save an extra 5 minutes, and he doesn't care about that.
I get so mad about that too, of like,
but
why?
But then if he doesn't care, then, like, don't you understand, though, like, the fact that he'll get just as mad that you do care so much.
Right.
So why is he not entitled to care about that if you're entitled to care about if
because
he's going
faster?
Because
the thing that I care about makes us so we're not late to the airport. And the thing that you care about or don't care about makes us late to the airport.
But if we left earlier, we never would have been
but
late.
But if we leave earlier, we don't get to sleep in, and sleep is valuable. I could keep
then
going.
You could go to bed earlier.
If I go to bed earlier, I don't get to finish the episode of White Lotus that I wanted to watch. Well, you can start watching it earlier. Well, if I watch it earlier, then I don't get to go for the run that I want to go. Like, I like to live my life efficiently with time, and I feel like a lot of things that men do are just like, they don't see the layers beneath and the planning. It's the classic grocery store example. Andrew, do you want anything from the grocery store? No, I'm not hungry. Well, there's going to be a future in which you will be hungry. Can we plan for that? No, I'm good now. I know you're full right now, but can you imagine a world where you might be hungry down the line?
Yes, but a million times over, I say I've lived 25 years on my own where I was able to eat. And I'm still sitting here today. So
but
you shouldn't worry
you a
about
pizza,
it.
Then that means that you get to hang out with me and we get to like have a good conversation and enjoy a show together as opposed to you having to go to the grocery store while I have to wait to watch a thing that we could watch together.
How
and
many
enjoy.
Times does that happen?
But it's just like, if we're on the same schedule and like eat. Like,
I know, but we're not going to be on the same schedule like
but
ever.
Grabbing you a pizza from the store would save you a trip to the store. And but I don't understand why you would want to do that.
But my point is like, I'd rather you not grab the pizza if it's going to even be on your brain ever later. Like, I'd rather just like, I'll get the pizza. Just, I promise I'll be okay and I'll eat.
Yeah,
and
but
I'll be there.
I guess
for
it's
you.
About me wanting to have you available to hang out later and like be and not have to go to the store and make two trips and
I know, but I'll be, I promise, like.
No, I've taken up, I get you pizzas still because I just know that, like, I don't even have to ask. Like, I just know what you need, but I will stop if you want me to.
Like, yesterday with the Thai food, I was like, what would Nikki want? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think about what you would like as well, but, like, I don't know. Like, I just, like, I don't want you to hold, like.
Yeah, if it turns into resentments, that's different, but, like.
Why don't you both read the book this weekend?
Which one?
Getting
me some food.
Getting to rent is due. Getting to Venmo me later. I think that's there should be a getting to I do for friendship, but I think these are all rules that we can work into our lives. Thank you so much for your fanthraxes. Keep leaving us voice memos. Keep listening to the show. Spread the word. Thank you so much, Melissa, Kat, and Allie. Thank you, Noah. Thank you to all our besties. We will see you in Vegas, Seattle, and Oregon this week. NikkiGlaser.com for tour dates and tickets. Don't be cut out there and
Jackie Robinson.
Getting to I do.